The following podcast is brought to you by the Media Studies and Communication Department at Dominican University of California. Lock your doors, check under the bed, and turn on a nightlight because it's about to get scary. I, DJ Ghost, will be your guide through all things paranormal. Listen at your own risk because when you listen, you won't be able to sleep tonight. You better keep one eye open. Hello and welcome to One Eye Open. Today we're going to be reading scary ghost stories. Our first one, it's called The Chair. When my sister Betsy and I were kids, our family lived for a while in a charming old farmhouse. We loved exploring its dusty corners and climbing the apple tree in the backyard. But our favorite thing was the ghost. We called her Mother. Some mornings, Betsy and I would wake up. On each of our nightstands, we'd find a cup that hadn't been there the night before. Mother had left them there, worried that we'd get thirsty during the night. She just wanted to take care of us. Among the home's original furnishings was an antique wooden chair, which we kept against the back wall of the living room. Whenever we were preoccupied watching TV or playing a game, Mother would inch that chair forward across the room towards us. Sometimes she's managed to move it all the way to the center of the room. We always felt sad putting it back against the wall. Mother just wanted to be near us. Years later, long after we moved out, I found an old newspaper article about the farmhouse's original occupant, a widow. She murdered her two children by giving them each a cup of poisoned milk before bed. Then she hung herself. An article included a photo of the farmhouse's living room with a woman's body hanging from a beam. Beneath her, knocked over, was that old wooden chair placed exactly in the center of the room. The next one is called The Ghost at Home. Last night, a friend rushed me out of the house to catch the opening act at a local bar's music night. After a few drinks, I realized my phone wasn't in my pocket. I checked the table we were sitting at, the bar, the bathrooms, and after no luck, I used my friend's phone to call mine. After two rings, someone answered, gave out a low, raspy giggle, and hung up. They didn't answer again. I eventually gave up as I lost cause and headed home. I found my phone laying on my nightstand right where I left it. So the next one is about a Ouija board, and it's called Ouija Board Knocks Back. In high school, my friends and I were messing around with the Ouija board one night and had done it before and nothing remarkable had ever happened. We usually did it to try and scare each other or our girlfriends. We all thought it was a joke, that there was no one else home except the seven of us, and we were all together around the board. One of the girls there wanted to try it. She had never done it before. The board misspelled some of the words the same way every time. It gave answers that seemed really historically accurate for our town. Long story short, the spirit claimed it was a 10-year-old boy who had died on the property in the 1800s and was buried there too, an unmarked grave. We were all a little freaked out because the board had never been so detailed and consistent. However, we were still skeptical and were all assuming one of us was trying to scare the rest. Finally, my friend asked the spirit if he could do something to prove he was there with us. It went to yes, then spelled out N-O-C-K. Then the planchet stopped moving. We all just stared at it silently. And then there was a rap, rap, rap on the window right next to us. The lights were on outside, and there was absolutely no one there. We never touched that board again. This one is called The Crying Lady in the Dakota. When the Dakota was built, it was something of a modern marvel. According to the Curb New York in 1885 Real Estate Record and Builder's Guide, regarded it as one of the most noblest apartment houses of the world. And since its opening, it has housed many famous residents, including Lauren Bacall, Rosemary Clooney, Connie Chugg, and Mary Povich. But the Dakota made a new name for itself after John Lennon and Yoko Ono moved into the building in 1873. Why? Because Lennon claimed he saw a crying lady ghost roaming the halls, and after Lennon died directly in front of the Dakota, Ono said she witnessed Lennon's ghost sitting at his piano. The Little Hands. I have never lived in a haunted house, but my mother did as a teen. Other houses on her street had strange things going on too. A few homes away from her lived a family. One night, the daughter went to bed with a bad headache. The next day, she was dead. She passed away from an aneurysm. After her funeral, the family went away to get their minds off the tragedy, and the father asked my uncle, my mom's brother, to check on their pets. My mom and dad, who were dating at the time, went with him. My mother had heard there was a grand piano, and she wanted to play it. My dad was studying to be a veterinarian. After entering the house, my uncle and my father headed to the basement to see the animals, and my mother went to the piano on the ground floor. She was playing it when she felt something brush against her ankles. She thought a cat must have left the basement and walked past her. She kept playing, and then she felt it again. She looked under the piano and saw nothing. When she started again, she felt hands clasp her legs tightly. She dashed to the basement door, called uncle and father, and waited for them. Back outside, my uncle could tell my mom was rattled and asked what was wrong. She told him what had happened. He turned white. He told her the daughter who had died used to play a game with her father. When she played the piano, she'd crawl underneath, grab his ankles, and push his feet up and down on the pedals. The next one is called The Phantom Patient. The ambulance company that used to work for had a haunted ambulance, Rig 12. A lot of EMTs had stories about it, but I had never put so much stock in paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my own experience with Rig 12. My partner and I were working in a rural community at 3 a.m., and it was pitch dark and completely quiet. I was in the driver's seat, and she was in the passenger seat. I woke up to a muffled voice, but I thought my partner was talking. I told her I was trying to sleep and closed my eyes. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" followed by a few seconds of heavy breathing. My partner and I sat up straight and looked back into the patient compartment where it sounded like the voice had come from. Things were quiet for a couple seconds. Then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle regulator and a hiss, as if it was leaking. I turned on the lights. We ran out of the rig. I thought a transient might have climbed in there while we were asleep, so we opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles. Neither was opened. We didn't sleep much after that. The next one is called the I'm Pish Ghost. My daughter Diane had a playful poltergeist for years. We called it Billy. I'd come home and find something put in a weird place. Milk in a cupboard, toilet paper in the fridge, laundry detergent in the bath. Diane once called to ask if Billy had been around because she couldn't find a gallon of milk. We finally found outside on her back steps. When I'd had enough, I'd point at Diane's home and yell, "Go see Diane." Within 5 minutes, I'd get a call from her. "Thanks a lot," she'd say. He'd gone and pulled shenanigans at her place. This occurred for the entire 2 years we lived there. No one believed us, not even our husbands. My mother thought someone was stealing from us when we were sleeping or out of the house. My sister believed something was going on, but didn't know what. I still can't explain any of it. The next one is called the Eerie Attic. A few years ago, I moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Melbourne, Australia. It was my first time living on my own. The apartment block had been built in the 1930s. It'd been there for a few months when I come home from work one day and went into the bathroom. I saw something strange. A wooden board, which had covered the hole in the ceiling that led to a small attic space, lay fractured in two pieces on the ground. I examined the pieces. The board was an inch thick, and it would have taken Bruce Lee to break it. I thought a landlord had sent someone to work on the attic. I was frozen stiff with fear. Someone was up there for sure. I emailed pictures to the landlord, asking if anyone had been up there. Her reply read, "Please call me as soon as you are able to." I called, and she explained that her last two tenants had said the same thing happened. She promised to replace the board, and she did. A month later, I woke up one night around 4 a.m. My body was covered in goosebumps. I felt like someone was rubbing his or her hands on me. Everything was silent. But then I heard a dragging sound coming from above my bed. It was as if someone was pulling a sack of potatoes. I froze, convinced someone was up there. There was no way an animal could make that sound. After 5 minutes, I worked up the courage to turn on the light, armed myself with a cricket bat, and walked to the bathroom. That's when I saw the new board covering the hole was broken into. I felt sick. The dragging sound had stopped, but I heard something else whispering. The sound was clear, coming from the attic. It sounded like children's voices, and I could hear one sentence repeating over and over, "It's your turn. It's your turn." I switched on every light in the apartment to make things feel normal. It was 5 a.m. and dark outside. I watched TV to try to unwind. My pet budgie, Dexter, who I kept in the kitchen, usually never made a sound at night, but he started squawking like he was being strangled. I'd never heard him make those sorts of noises before. He was screaming. I grabbed my car keys, ran out, and sat in my car and waited there until the sun came up. When I saw people walking their dogs, this comforted me enough to go back in. The front door was open, but I figured I might have forgotten to close it when I ran out. I went to the kitchen to check on Dexter, but he wasn't in his cage. I felt sick again. All my windows were closed, so I looked everywhere inside. When I walked to the bathroom, I heard splashing. Dexter was half drowned in the toilet. I took him out, washed him, and dried him. I was so confused. At 8 a.m., I called the landlord and gave her a watered-down version of the night. "Oh wow, you heard the whispering too," she said. I stayed in that apartment for another 18 months. I heard the whispering on a few occasions, and twice the board covering the hole in the ceiling moved. Although I live elsewhere now, the landlord recently called and said that her new tenants had begged to speak with me about some of the stuff that's been going on there. Forget it, it's their problem now. The next one is called The Boy with No Eyes. One night when I was 10, I was woken up by my bedroom door opening, followed by someone sitting on my bed. I felt my leg graze and the bed sink under a person's weight. "It's just my mom," I thought. I opened my eyes. It was not my mom. I found an eyeless boy. He had black, empty sockets, about my age, sitting at the foot of my bed. He extended his hand, and in it was a little box. I was startled but reached out. He pulled back. I reached again and said, "Give it." Then I blinked, and when I reopened my eyes, he was gone. But I could still see the imprint from where he sat on my bed. Fast forward a few years, my girlfriend came over to do homework. After she finished, she took a nap while she waited for her parents. When they arrived, I tried waking her up. She opened her eyes suddenly, looking up at a corner where the wall met the ceiling. She pointed there and went back to sleep. I shook her again. She came to full consciousness. I explained what she had done. She looked haunted. Up on the wall, I saw a little boy with no eyes. He was there in a Spider-Man pose, staring at me. Fast forward another 5 years, I was with the same girlfriend, and we had a 2-year-old. We were living in my parents' house in my old room. My daughter started waking up at the same time every night, and she talked. After a while, I noticed she had almost the same conversation every night. I playfully asked her once whom she was talking to. "It's a little boy. He's nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy." My daughter's nightly conversations continued until we got our own place later that year.